abanye bathi bangalamba ngasingasebenza njani
silambekanga. So you don't know who yiko ukuthi abantu kufanele balambe ukuze basebenze noma basuthe, because both kukwenza bangakhoni ukusebenza. Nevertheless, let's continue with our meeting. Let me take this opportunity before giving to Ms. Zama. Honorable members, it was an oversight on my side while we were, I requested the committee secretary to read the apologies. I thought that the apology for the CLCC is with the committee secretary. Later when I checked, she said there was no apology. While we're making the introduction, I heard the acting deputy land claims commissioner and the acting rural development and the acting chief land claims commissioner, Mr. Mukhatu. So we're not told what is the reason. Yeah, CLCC, which Angabila, Tambisa, Ukona, and so humble, they are hard juggling department. Says that Ukona, and so humble, says that Ukona, and outside the country. So that is why I wanted that to be recorded, because it says, Wuchi, Ugupi. Robert Nenze, as it is Puma, last morning, my news is Kulimezi Yizid. We were in a committee meeting. We were in a committee meeting, but we were not told. Then why now? Television. Can we be told why CLCC is not here?
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honourable members. Apologies for not indicating. I thought that the committee is aware. As you may recall, that Mr. Mdondra got another appointment in the department, and the position of Deputy Land Claims Commissioner became vacant. So Ms. Cindy Benyani acted for a while, I acted, and then subsequent to that, during the month of July, the Chief Land Claims Commissioner was appointed as an acting judge for South Gauteng High Court from the 30th of July until the 7th of September. So I was then appointed to be the acting Chief Land Claims Commissioner. And then Tate Shilote was appointed as the acting Deputy Land Claims Commissioner. So as we speak, she is now busy in the South Gauteng High Court until the 7th of September. We are expecting her to return any time after the 7th of September. My apologies for not highlighting it. I thought that there might have been another engagement prior to this one. Hence, I did not indicate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think now, members, we are aware what is happening. So I was trying to make sure that I'm a member yazi ukuthi kwenzakalani. Asifuni drama nasisuka lana sibasibuza, Honorable Mnguni, what is happening with the CLCC? Angazi ukuthi kwenzakalani. So thank you very much for that information. Can we proceed? Mrs. Sama.
Honorable Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee, thank you very much for affording the General Counsel an opportunity to make its submissions on the bill. The Minerals Council is a private sector employer organization that supports and promotes the South African mining industry. We exist as the principal advocate of major policy positions which are endorsed by the industry employers. Our workforce represents about 90% of the employees in the industry. and we also represent mining companies that produce about 90% of South Africa's mineral resources. Chairperson, I will not go to the economic impact details of our existence, but just to highlight that mining is a national competence, and therefore we are the economic backbone of the industry. Chair, I'd like to state that as the Minerals Council, we support the concept of restitution as enshrined in our constitution as well as in the Restitution Act. We have focused our submission on two issues that have an impact on the mining industry. Chair, if you'll allow me, I'd like to summarize those, which in your pack, they are from pages 2 up to page 8. I'd like to just summarize those submissions. The two issues that I would like to make submissions on, the first one is the extension of the date for lodgement of claims to 5 years after the commencement of the Act, Amendment Act, as well as the non-ring fencing of claims lodged on or before the 31st December 1998 from all claims lodged thereafter and claims lodged on or before the 28th of July 2016, that is when the land access case was decided, from all the claims that were lodged thereafter. Now, We submit that the extension of the date for lodgement would have an impact in terms of the security of tenure for mining companies. If I may touch on the Minerals and Petroleum Resources Development Act, which is legislation that governs the mineral resources, in short is the MPRDA, the Section 5 thereof of the Act gives the holders of mining rights broad statutory rights in respect of use of relevant property. And mining companies then, in most cases, will select to own, acquire the land, irrespective of whether mining is open cast or underground mining. And to avoid, that is to avoid conflicts with third-party landowners and to avoid having to pay compensation to third-party landowners. And in essence, Chairperson and Honourable Members, besides compliance with the MPRDA, we are obligated to comply with the provisions of the National Environmental Management Act, as well as Health and Safety, Mine Health and Safety Act, amongst others. Hence, security of tenure becomes an important aspect once a mining right has been granted. Also, Section 53 of the MPRDA prohibits the use of land in a way that is contrary to the objects of the MPRDA unless there is an approval by the Minister of Mineral Resources. Also, the Section 5.3 of the MPRDA gives the holder of a right to mine extensive rights to use land for mining and purposes incidental thereto, often rendering the land unusable for other purposes. Chair, again, the issue of investment becomes an important aspect when it comes to security of tenure. South Africa consistently encourages direct investment in mining. Therefore, security of tenure becomes then an important aspect when it comes to mining resources in our country. Honourable Members, I would like to go to the second issue, which is on page 8 of our submission, the issue of non-ring fencing of existing claims lodged on or before the 31st of December 1998. Zooming on Section 6 of the Restitution Act as amended, which was declared invalid by by the Constitutional Court in the land access case. It provided that land claims commissioner had to ensure that priority is given to claims lodged not later than 31st December 1998 and which were not finalized at the end of the commencement of the restitution of Land Rights Amendment Act 2014. Although the effect of the land access case is that the above mentioned section 61G was set aside, and although the draft bill which preceded the present bill tabled proposed to insert a new replacement section 61G. The bill, which deals with clause 2 with section 6, it no longer proposes to insert the new replacement section 61G. Instead, it relies in clause 1A on section 21A, being prefaced by the words subject to section 16A. Chair, the Minerals Council submits that the omission of section 61G and the proposed insertion of section 16A does not resolve the issues which were raised by the applicants and by the court in the land access case. And if I may highlight a few of those issues, were that the reopening window for lodgement of claims will gravely prejudice the claimants who filed their claims by 31st December 1998, whose claims remain unresolved. The second one being the new claimants will be free to claim against land that has already been claimed or awarded to existing claimants. Chair, we would like to submit to the committee that these sections should in fact provide for the following in the judgment in the land case, which is A, all claims have substantive priority over new claims competing for restoring of same land. B, land already restored to an old claimant cannot be expropriated and restored to a new claimant. In other words, in relation to the first issue, that of the extension of the date or to lodge new claims, which the Mineral Council submits that it does not support in its how it's been presented, we propose a new replacement of Section 1G. And the proposed new Section 16A, which should provide that if there is an existing claim lodged on or before December 1998, then save in the circumstances envisaged in the proposed Section 16A, it is only if such existing claim is unsuccessful that a new claim can be considered at all. Also, if there is an existing claim that has been lodged in terms of the restitution of Land Rights Amendment Act of 2014, then save in the circumstances envisaged in the proposed Section 16A2, it is only if such existing claim is unsuccessful that a new claim in terms of the Amendment Act 2017 could be considered at all. Chair, there is another issue that we would like to touch on, and that is paragraph 23 of your pack on page 13. That is the proposed repeal in clause 15 of the bill of the section 15, in clause 15 of the Bill of the Amendment Act 2014, which says it repeals the Amendment Act. We submit that the Amendment Act had already been declared invalid in the land access case. So technically it's not possible to repeal it. And we would like to recommend that the parliamentary law advisors look into that matter, because we believe that the Act, the Amendment Act, was declared invalid by the Constitutional Court. Chair, in conclusion, we respectfully request that the Portfolio Committee recommend that the bill not be passed, but if it has to be passed, then the submissions that we've made are taken into consideration on the two issues that we highlighted earlier, that of non-ring fencing the claims that were lodged on or before December 98, as well as the claims lodged on or before 28 July 1996. Chair, I'd like to end there.
Thank you, Ms. Summer, for the presentation. I think members are going to follow the same process which we followed during the first phase. Can we therefore get the second presentation from the Congress of the South African Trade Union, COSATU, by Mr. Comrade Parks. Over to you.
Thanks very much, Chair. Good morning. Sorry, good morning. Good afternoon to members, colleagues, friends and comrades. Yes, my name is Matthew Parks. I'm from the Congress of South African Trade Unions. Sure, Chair, if you would ask what is the interest of COSATU here, well, we have almost 2 million members, and if you include the families, that's about 10 million, many of whom come from rural areas, and who feel the effects of dispossession of land, be it workers who live in the cities and live in informal areas or backyard residences, or workers who live in rural areas and lack security of tenure, and in particular your farm workers who have very little rights, despite the good laws on paper. Chair, to make it short and sweet, as COSATU, we support the bill. We know it's not perfect, as many of our bills are, and we don't dispute the many valid issues raised by colleagues from NGOs earlier, but for us, it's a question of what do we balance. For us, you can see throughout the country, there's a cry for dispossession of land. It's a burning issue, whether you're in the cities, whether you're in Langa, Athlone, or you're in the deep rural areas, and we need to deal with this issue. We think this bill is a useful vehicle to try to deal with it, and there's no way as COSATU we can say we don't support reopening a 5-year window period for the submission of land restitution claims. We welcome that. Our plea, Chair, to the honourable members is to pass the bill within this term of Parliament, if not sooner. Our frustration, Chair, is that it's taken so long. The previous version of the bill, the departmental version, if memory serves me right, was tabled just after the 2014 elections. We're now on the eve of the 2019 elections. So we think that 5 years has been too long. We've raised people's hopes, and they've had to wait time and time again. We were in this very same venue about 4 years ago when we had public hearings on the previous version of the bill. Chair, I think also in terms of the whole 1913 cutoff date, we know it's an emotional, it's a contentious issue, but I think it's a fair compromise to retain the 1913 cutoff date. Even within our ranks, we have some of our colleagues who said, let's go to 1652. But I think that's simply not practical. 1913 even itself is difficult in terms of providing evidence. We think it's a fair compromise. Not to dispute those communities which have suffered dispossession pre-1913, but we think government can have its own land reform programs to address that landlessness. Otherwise, Chair, you might find the King of Swaziland claiming for up to Springs, or the King of Lesotho might claim Bloemfontein back, etc. Chair, in terms of the bill itself, we strongly support the 5-year window period. We think that if you're looking at 3.5 million plus dispossession victims, the families, this is a humane, it's a progressive gesture to give a second chance for those persons. We can't blame people in deep rural areas who didn't submit a claim for whatever reason. Let's give it a chance. I think, Chair, we also want to appreciate and support the provisions, the commitment in the bill, that those who were dispossessed because of betterment issues in rural areas or urban dispossession, which wasn't necessarily physically forced removal, but removal in compliance with apartheid laws, also qualify. We think that is a omission in the existing processes that they weren't sufficiently catered for, and those are important objectives. Chair, one difficult issue in the bill is around the existing claims. We appreciate the commitment of the bill that existing claims must be prioritized, must be processed, addressed. And of course, that small provision in the interest of justice, I think in Clause 5, that an existing claim could be delayed for a new claim if they're related. We think that wording, Chair, needs to be tightened up further. We're very worried that you might find, for example, a traditional leader coming now, submitting a very large claim, and their existing claims, which are waited 20 years, they can then be delayed because of it. And that can be a recipe for conflict. So if you're going to have that wording, we think it needs to be tightened up. I suspect Advocate Ramasala might say, well, you can do that in the regulations, it's fine. But I think you need to have very, very tight wording so it's very clear to everybody. Because we're quite worried that you might have kings or queens claiming entire provinces and collapsing existing cases. In those cases, I waited 20 years. Honorable Nguni was not even an MP 20 years ago, Chair. Chair, in terms of the transparency and offences provisions in the bills, look, I think we support the provisions that criminalise anybody who seeks to sabotage, disrupt, delay, commit fraud, and undermine the functions of the Commission. We support that. This is a serious objective. It's a valid objective of government. Chair, we also welcome the commitment of the bill to publicise claims in national and provincial media. We think it might need to go a bit further than just saying national and provincial media. So someone staying in the former Gazankulu may not read newspapers or have easy access to them. Their preferred mode of communication might rather be a local community radio station. We think you should add community radio station there. And also I think specifically to emphasize local languages, whichever they might be. Because newspapers obviously are biased towards English, but someone in Venda may not be so confident in English, etc., etc. So I think that's the two simple insertions. I think it's Section 11, Chair. Chair, we also support the provision that there should be a register of land restitution claims. It should be maintained, publicly available. But we were concerned about what does publicly available mean. That could simply mean publishing it in the Government Gazette, which no one reads except for, you know, a few officials and so on. Again, Chair, we think at least it should be available on the Commission's website at all times. At least that should be an accessible 24/7, 7 days a week available port of call. Simply publishing a newspaper there, that's a once-off occasion. But if it's always available on the Land Claims Commission website, maybe again in local African languages too, or all 11 official languages. We think that, Chair, that might help also to give transparency, minimize corruption, abuses, etc. So I think that's our provision on the bill, Chair. It's fairly straightforward. We support the bill. But I think, Chair, we'd be failing our duty if we didn't raise to the committee's attention our concerns as COSATU on a few related areas. I think despite government's best intentions since 1994, we think that generally the land reform, land restitution programs have significantly failed to address the legacies of apartheid. I think the percentages are 5%, etc., quite depressing to say the least. And of course, Chair, the fact that most emerging farmers have failed are collapsing. Even existing commercial farmers are also buckling, whether it's because of high levels of debt and so on. So we have a few proposals trying to assist. Chair, we know the President is busy reconfiguring the department. We think priority on that should be the reunification of this Department of Rural Development and Land Reform with the Department of Agriculture. We don't see the logic of why we split two sister departments. and end up duplicating each other and not having a sufficient synergy. Chair, we think that government really is missing in action, if I can put it that way, Chair, around the crisis in the agricultural sector. It's across the board. And I think, Chair, it's important to remember that the agricultural sector is the largest employer of workers outside of the state in the economy. So we've seen how the poultry industry is buckling because of a flood of cheap subsidized imports in the US. We've seen how the sugar sector is buckling as well, again because of a flood of subsidized imports from Brazil. And government is by and large not protecting the sector. So it's good to have land reform, but if we're not giving support for the new farmers and existing farmers, we're just going to be wasting our time. Of course, Chair, I think also we must recognize that the sector as a whole is battling climate change. I think the water crisis are not just a Cape Town phenomenon, but it's a national crisis across the board, including the issues of desertification, soil erosion, etc. And I think, Chair, also the fact that our exports are struggling to reach other economies, and of course the high levels of indebtedness of all our farmers. Chair, just coming towards the end, we are quite disappointed, Kusatu, with government and parliament around the failure to deal with the issue of tenure security. Our farm workers lack tenure security. There's evictions left and right, despite the good laws on the statute books. Labor tenants in a similar situation. Residents of informal areas equally, and of course, I think we know the very, very hard issue of residents in traditional communal areas. We really need to grapple that issue. We know it's not an easy issue. As you've seen recently with the response of some traditional leaders to the high-level panel, but eventually we need to deal with it in a just way. Chair, I think also just coming towards the end, we are quite frustrated with Parliament and, again, the departments. There are very good progressive land reform bills in various stages, but there seems to be a significant lack of energy by Parliament, by government, to fast-track those bills. So recently, the Esther bill has only recently been adopted by the Select Committee of the NCOP, yet it was tabled here, I think, in 2014, memory serves me right. That's going to help empower, protect farm workers and their families. The expropriation bill has been sitting in Parliament for the past few years untouched. Again, it is a useful tool to fast-track land reform in a progressive, legal way. The Preservation and Development of Agricultural Land Bill, a very good bill which will preserve agricultural land for agriculture. The Department of Agriculture is basically sitting on it, no reason given. A fantastic bill from the Department of Rural Development, the Regulation Landholdings Bill, was pulled back this year because of the expropriation debate. And these are useful tools which could have fast-tracked government, incapacitated government to fast-track land reform, but government seems to think that taking half a decade to process bills is a fair turnaround time. And of course, Chair, the Communal Land Tenure Bill, which I know will be a very explosive bill, but again, it's important to empowering residents of communal areas. So I think, Chair, we really want to plead with, we know we're coming to the sunset period of this Parliament, but we really need to fast-track some of these bills, Chair. So in conclusion, Chair, we support, as Kosar, to the progressive objectives of this bill. We just feel that you do need to strengthen honourable members, the clauses dealing with existing land claims, the transparency and accountability and communication clauses. We would urge you to urgently pass this bill, which we're confident you'll do before you arrive in November. And I think, Chair, those bills which are related, which are already in Parliament, we should really consider fast-tracking them. And then lastly, Chair, to see government really having a serious economic support plan for new farmers, emerging farmers, existing farmers. We can't simply expect farmers to cope and compete when agriculture in the US, in the EU, in Brazil, etc., is highly subsidized. We expect our small farmers to somehow be miracle workers and survive. So that's our submission in a nutshell, Chair. So we hope we've added some value to the committee's good work. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mr. Parks, for the presentation. And let's move to the next presentation, honorable members, which will be the last one, which will be followed by discussion. Looking at the issue of time, I'm a good time manager. I can manage time effectively. I praise myself ngoba angifuni ningibonge singifile, ngifuna ukuzibonga mina. So Advocate Sibanyoni, your turn is yours. Advocate Sibanyoni was the former member of this parliament, now is the commissioner in the South African Human Rights Commission. Sihlala sikuva nje usi-advise nakukwekwezi kugwalagwala. Cabanga ukuthi nanamuhla uzosi-advise kakuhle. Siyabonga, over to you, Advocate.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe let me start by joining the other people who have passed their heartfelt condolences for your bereavement in the family. Also to mention that also in our Sibanyoni family, we had a bereavement in June. We lost our son. And on a good note, let me just mention that the 14th of August is my birthday. Okay. And second lighter. No, not now. And the second light note, I was whispering to Mr. Mguni to say, as you see me coming to sit in the chair behind here, I still remember our culture to say when the speaker is on the podium, you occupy the next chair as a former member of parliament. Chairperson, I will try to be as brief as possible, and our submission is a collective submission by the 8 commissioners of the Human Rights Commission, and the submission was also put together by our legal services unit, our LSU. And then the submission comprises of the mandate of the Human Rights Commission, secondly the position on land restitution, and then the restitution of the Land Rights Amendment Bill, and the investigative inquiry that was done by the Human Rights Commission in 2013 or 2013, and the findings, and then thereafter it will deal with the concluding remarks. And briefly, insofar as the mandate is concerned, as the Human Rights Commission, we are one of the Chapter 9 institutions which are referred to as the state institutions supporting constitutional democracy, sometimes referred to as the watchdogs. And then our mandate are three: to promote respect for human rights and a culture of human rights. Secondly, promote the protection, development, and attainment of human rights. And thirdly, monitor and assess the observance of human rights in the Republic. And then further, Section 184, Subsection 2 of the Constitution gives the Human Rights Commission powers to investigate and report on the observance of human rights in South Africa. But another legislation that gives us the mandate or the powers is the South African Human Rights Commission Act No. 40 of 2013. And briefly, I want to quote Section 13, Subsection 1A, Subsection Roman Figure 1. It says, I quote, "The Commission is competent and is obliged to make recommendations to organs of state at all levels of government where it considers such actions advisable for the adoption of progressive measures for the promotion of human rights within the framework of the Constitution and the law, as well as appropriate measures for further observance of the human rights." And then subsection 13.1b, it talks about recommendations. And as the Human Rights Commission, we said we also follow the public protector, which has got powers to make directives. We have taken that decision and said we will make directives, and then to say any organ of state that does not agree with our directives has to approach the court to have them reviewed. Now, secondly, I'm coming on the position of the Human Rights Commission on land restitution. land is dignity, and the restitution of land rights equals restoration of dignity. Without land, you don't have dignity. The Human Rights Commission chairperson and members receives complaints, among others, relating to the land restitution, and the issue of the 1998 deadline has been identified as a concern, but also other challenges that have made the resolution of existing claims difficult and or severely delayed. That's what comes from many people who are approaching the Human Rights Commission. As the Chapter 9 institutions, we are given powers to assist those people who lodge claims, come to us for assistance. And those are the two areas that have been identified. The Human Rights Commission regards land reform as a key process through which South Africa's legacy of racial and spatial apartheid can be addressed. It moreover considers land reform as an essential mechanism to achieve social justice and substantive equality more broadly, and thereby restore dignity to South Africa's people through a process of land restitution and redistribution. And as we are now during August month, we are saying August month is Women's Month, and then we say when agrarian reform is made, legislatures should also realize that the redistribution should also benefit women. There are women in agriculture, they should be also considered. Now, Chairperson and members, in respect of both rural and urban land, the Human Rights Commission submits that it is imperative that the state approach be decisively informed by inclusive, democratic, and egalitarian systems of land holding in South Africa, which benefit the most marginalized and vulnerable members of our society. Any such process must be transparent. It must include a plan for implementation, which includes specific departmental obligations and clear timelines, and incorporate mechanisms that enable the public and Parliament to measure delivery and hold the executive directly accountable. We're impressed by the president of the country when he was talking about agrarian reform, talking about stimulus packages, etc. And then further, delays in finalizing claims have the effect of compromising the claim, in that old people who have the information necessary for the passage of land claim have either died or are too old to impart the information. Chairperson, we have been approached by, I would say, the second generation who came to the Human Rights Commission to say, our grandfather lodged a claim before 1998, and then our father, when our grandfather passed away, took over. But our father has also passed on and is not yet finalized. And then it's a cause for concern. Although the issue of exclusion of claims that came about through the 1998 lodgement cut-off is one of the matters raised during the Human Rights Commission's hearing, it is noted that the Restitution of Land Rights Amendment Bill seeks to address this. We have noted that this bill seeks to address the exclusion. People have quoted the Bible, the child outside the house and the child inside the house, the initiator of this private member's bill. The Human Rights Commission's position is that the practical implementation of the bill, when it becomes law, should not disadvantage those claimants who would have lodged before or after the original 1998 cut-off date. It is the opinion of the Commission that the legislature should be specific in relation to the steps to be taken by the Regional Land Claims Commissioner in, I quote, making known in the district in which the land in question is situated, unquote. In its current wording, the provision we are saying maybe should beefed up because we feel that it must be very strong in that respect. Mm-hmm. Then people have spoken a lot about Section 61, Roman Figure A, the practical implementation of how claims lodged after 2014 should be taken into consideration in claims lodged before 31st December 1998 should be clarified. Chairperson, after we listen to the questions and the responses, I must also say I have learned a lot, but I can't deviate from this because, as I've said, it's a collective submission. And maybe if there are some questions, I will say I should be saved from either deviating from this and go back to the drawing board, because we do this submission as a collective. Although it is welcomed to include offences and penalties in Section 17, the Human Rights Commission views the provisions of Section 17(1), subsection A, problematic, as it does not take into consideration that a person may show good cause for failure to appear or produce documents or objects as required. Exceptions should accordingly be included. Also, that section, if the portfolio committee can look at it and see whether they agree with our view or not. Restitution of Land Rights Amendment Bill. The amendment of Section 22 of the Principal Act and Section 6 of the 2014 amendment is welcomed. It guarantees the observance of the separation of powers, the independence of the judiciary, and the alignment of the appointment of judicial officers. We are comfortable about that one, to say the doctrine of separation of powers is contained there. However, concurrent appointment as a judge of the court, as proposed by Section 22A, may overburden the judges. Our understanding is that the bill talks about the judges of the High Court who are appointed to serve in the Land Claims Court. And our view was saying maybe the Judicial Service Commission should appoint specifically a person to say this person is going to serve in the Land Claims Court, so that there is a term. But when I was reading here, I was also saying that I wonder whether it is captured sufficiently to say the Judicial Service Commission, the JSC, although a person to be appointed in the Land Claims Court should have been a judge before, but when he gets appointed there, his sole priority and duties is focused in the Land Claims Court. In addition, this may delay the resolution of matters. When a person is a judge of the Land Claims Court, he still has got some outstanding judgments that he must write as a judge of the High Court. Judges of the court should be appointed on an exclusive basis. That's what we mean about that sentence. The decision in the proposed amendment to reopen the land claims for a further 5 years from the date when it is signed into law constitutes an important step to enable people who were unable or inadequately prepared to present their claims prior to the 1998 deadline for submissions. We're talking about the child outside the law, to say we support that. The Commission is of the view that in order to address and remedy the land restitution process in South Africa, it is necessary to deal with the challenges identified over the past 20 years and not to depend on the legislative changes that fail to address issues that have been identified as needing to be remedied. And we are saying those that can be processed should be processed and finalized. Noting the challenges in the restitution process in South Africa, the Human Rights Commission saw the need for a systematic intervention to these challenges, to say, identify the challenges, let the challenges be addressed. As such, in November and December 2013, the Human Rights Commission convened an investigative hearing on systematic challenges affecting the land restitution process in South Africa, as we are empowered to call upon people to come for public hearings. And then those people came, and then Chairperson, they make certain comments, and then these are the findings that the Human Rights Commission came about. The hearings revealed a number of challenges relating to the to addressing the challenges affecting land restitution in South Africa, including, I'll just go through them quickly, understaffing. There was a lot about topic of understaffing, lack of technical skills, and inadequate research capacity. The relationship between the Commission for Restitution of Land Rights and the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. Need for independence. Also, communities occupying land with mineral resources below the surface. The backlog of claims and introduction of new date may prejudice existing claims. That's the findings that that the people are talking about. Challenges in calculating the value of land in light of subsequent uses. Capacity of Chief Surveyor General, failure to subdivide land and register title deeds may be exacerbated by reopening of claims, impermanence and lack of continuity of the LCC judges addressed by the amendment bill. Our concluding remarks. These are concerns over the election to accept monetary compensation as opposed to land. Chairperson, we even heard from the people who came before the Human Rights Commission. They said this was supposed to be a land claim, but not a money claim. So why there is an option, a monetary compensation? Because you are not healing the injustices of the past, land dispossession. Also, when you look, or you have heard about the amount that is being paid, the money will deplete or will come to an end as time passes on, but land will remain for the current generation and the next generation. There has been insufficient training and capacitation of the land claimants once they receive their portions of land for better productivity and sustainability. There is also a need for an updated analysis as to whether there is sufficient budget being allocated towards land restitution processes. More attention to adjudication and processing of rural land claims. Challenges related to the manner in which calculations and determinations of the value of land from which individuals and communities were historically dispossessed, but which have to be seen in the context of subsequent development and uses. The Human Rights Commission is concerned whether the provision for additional and adequate capacity has been addressed. Beneficiaries of land restitution must enjoy adequate security of tenure. The Human Rights Commission is hopeful that the legislature will ensure that claimants are informed in a reasonable manner and that the steps to be taken by regional and land claims commissioners are reasonable. And Chairperson, in conclusion, we also sent a letter. I don't know, maybe it's delayed in the post office, but I've brought a copy to say, as the Human Rights Commission, we don't want to come on a fighting spirit and the like. We have requested a meeting between the Human Rights Commission and the Portfolio Committee. I want to leave the copy of the letter that we have written, and we are still looking forward to have that opportunity as to see what value can we add as the Human Rights Commission. I thank you.
Advocate Sibanyoni, shangat advocate Skhosana, sinabo Skhosana nabo Sibanyoni halaki. Thank you very much, Advocate Sibanyoni and other presenters, Ms. Zama, Mr. Parks and the advocate was the last presenter. Members who have been listening to the presentations, most of the issues raised by presenters, all of them from the first phase, some of them are the same. They differ somewhere, somehow, but some they talk one and the same thing. There are issues that we cannot dispute as this committee, we are aware of. When Advocate Spanyoni was reading the findings, and also when members looking at the findings, they know that some of the things are in our reports. Those findings are in our reports. I think I will appreciate the meeting. We'll look at the program of the committee, because nowadays we are directed to focus on the legislation. But if there's any space, we'll invite the South African Human Rights Commission and anyone who wants to meet with the committee separately from other stakeholders have got the right to request that from the committee. If there's any slot, we are free as this committee. We are not fighters. We are... Ms. Mohan, we are colleagues. We are on the same WhatsApp group. I've said the committee cannot exist without the stakeholders, and the department cannot exist without the stakeholders. We appreciate where you critic. It opens our ears and eyes for us as a committee. Where should we focus on? Honorable members, let me give you an opportunity to comment on the presentation as raised by various presenters. Honorable Mpapama, Honorable Madela, Honorable Chaps, Honorable Magadla, Honorable Mgoni, you'll be the last. Over to you, Honorable Mpapama.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just feeling a little bit guilty because I didn't say anything in the previous round, but I just need to explain myself. Where I'm coming from is I take what the stakeholders are saying, and I think it's important for us to listen rather than to comment on what they're saying. What I'm doing is taking the salient points that I feel will add value to the bill. But as the Chair said, obviously there are things that are problematic, especially in terms of implementation, where the department is concerned, etc., etc. So the fact that I'm quiet, please don't think I'm just a pretty face sitting here or an ugly face on the other side. But I really am listening and taking the salient points that will add value to the bill. Thank you very much. And as the Chair said, you know, you're raising more or less the same issues. Thank you.
Chair, thank you. I wish to express appreciation for the presentations delivered by the Mineral Council, the Human Rights Commission, and of course, OSATU. Chair, on page 3 of the presentation of the Minerals Council, there is a concern expressed with regard to the implications of a new lodgement in relation to Kenya, security of Kenya, Chair. Even though they also indicate that the MPRD A does provide that in the event where land ownership change hands, that the mineral rights that has been allocated on that land will not be affected. I know it has been indicated that the mining companies prefer to own the land, Chair. This is my personal view, is that once land has been restored, regardless of whether there's a mine, the land should be restored. The mine should just, mining companies should just negotiate with the new owners, new agreements, chairperson. That is my view, but one indeed appreciate the concerns with regard to the issue of the old claims, that it has to be express or outline much more clearer, chairperson. But one is just a little bit concerned about that, because it appears that it somehow contradicts the broad spirit of the presentation in relation to this issue of tenure, insecurity of tenure, chairperson, which, as I indicated, should not be actually the case, Chair. Thank you. Sorry, Chair. I just want to welcome in particular the presentation by the human rights. We, as you have reminded us, Chair, the Human Rights Commission has made a presentation on the public hearings they conducted on the restitution, you know. So we certainly have that report that you have presented to us, if I'm not mistaken. I do have it here, Chair, that's why I'm accepting that we have had that presentation, I think in 2014 or early in 2015, Chair, that we had that, Chair. One is in particular also impressed by the presentation by COSATU, a chairperson who makes no bones about it, that they support the reopening of the land claims and are highlighting all concerns that has also been expressed earlier, of where the amendment should be tightened up, Chair, and in particular identifying or the 3.5 million people that certainly stand to benefit by such a reopening of the land claims, but also, Chair, for pressurizing, putting pressure on us to finalize this within the next 2 months, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to still unrelentingly pass condolences to Commissioner Sibanyoni on the bereavement. I am told it's 14th of June, 15th of June when the young man passed on. We may you be comforted, Big Chief. We know you are a hardened activist yourself, so you as a soldier, you're very strong, but please convey Parliament's condolences to your family, the broader family of the Sibanyonis. This is passing slowly, but surely it is passing. I had intimidated everyone earlier on to say we shall all be graves. Someone took 140 whatever years, so we'll all be graves by then. So one way or the other, the Christians put it nicely. I agree with them on this one. It's absolutely correct. In other theory, we talk about the negation of negation. I don't know if you've met that. But at the same time, I propose to the Chair that we sing for your birthday today. We will have to request the permission from the Speaker to do that, and Parliament sings for Commissioner Sibanyoni. Maybe for his birthday, especially after your input as well. Chair, I am encouraged. I think the room reflects. I wanted also to preface a point here. Listening does not exclude engagement and encourage all that maybe the more we do it in an integrated fashion, the better. I know nothing about the law, but you go to one court, you'd find the judge sitting there listening carefully and the state and the defense arguing their cases, and then the judge summons the court the following day and passes judgment, even without saying a word. That's still a correct scenario. You will go to another court, you'll find the judge interactive, interjecting from time to time, getting clarity. Were you saying on the 14th you were where? And so that's part of path to truth. You want to arrive at truth by testing the facts. Testing the facts means listening to the facts and taking them as facts, but it also means interacting and getting clarity, looking them under a microscope, if you like, a litmus. Those who will understand the word litmus, right. So I just wanted to say that, because I thought that the public might think there were public hearings of the CRC Constitution Review Committee. Largely, I am aware that the members of the CRC were simply listening, and I think it was for the best. It was their great strategy. But a part of one's persuasion is a referral to the Matatiel and Doctors for Life cases. In both those cases, I am reliably told by legal minds, very senior, that part of the case against the parliament or whatever was that there was not adequate interaction in those cases, public education and all that. So I think that when there's an issue about land and this extent of a discourse about land in our country, land is almost everything. Others think you can just secede, go away with a piece of land, rural villages in another province, take them, go away with them and have your own state, because akuna hulumeni la, as some put it on national TV, you know. But about land, I think conversation is useful. Otherwise, it will be very difficult for us to get each other. So as long as we afford people space and as long as we listen and we read, the documents arrived here last night after 5, and throughout the night I went through the documents, those I had. And certainly that's part of listening and assimilating and making sense and balancing out what the people are saying. Having said that, Chair, the issue about budget, I think, is raised by Human Rights Commission. I can't comment on everything. I think in the committee and elsewhere where we belong, we've raised some of that concern. When the topical issue is about land, then the budget needs to go in that direction. At some point, the topical issue was about fees must fall. There had to be a financial equivalence to fees must fall. You can't be adjudicating fees must fall without talking to the budget. But now, I know most people are social scientists and lawyers in the room. Because this linear measurement of 142 years, with due respect, social scientists, I submit intellectually, not arrogantly, intellectually, that it is flawed. Because it doesn't take into consideration that when there's a certain mood, budgets can be adjusted in such a manner that it talks to the mood in the country. And therefore, the 142 years or 35 years is linear. It says, at this rate, but the rate is linear. Those of you who know a little bit about mathematics know that a graph can also be hyperbolic. It's not always the case that it will always be a gentle slope and linear. So the projections sometimes, I am persuasive on this point, projections must be mindful that situations change, the economic mode in the country, this and that, they all change. That was the point about budget. I know people in Treasury would take it from there and fly with it, but we should not. So I welcome the point about budget by HRC, because I've not had much contributions about budget before. When we sit as committee, maybe some of us will dwell more on this item. In other words, it's a point definitely had, like many other points had. The rural land claims, thank you. It came from both COSATU, it came from Human Rights Commission, it's coming. The rural people, I am a rural person myself. Most of my life I've stayed in rural areas. The now timing, I've stayed in the cities. So there's this perception that on a timing, if we lali. No, we have, we are human beings too. But the rural, the plight of the rural, and most of our NGOs really, really raise the plight of the rural people. People really assume that it's all nice and well in the rural areas. There are no tenure security issues and whatnot. So we welcome, Chair, I wanted to emphasize that again by HRC and COSATU, the issue about the plight of the rural people. And we think that struggles have got to be fought, if needs be. Fierce struggles. Rural land belongs to the people. And more often, Alliance for Rural Democracy, you'll find that there are people who don't understand that. And I know we are one on that one. Rural land belongs to the people, Finnish Human Rights Commission. So from time to time, we've got to go and defend those people. I've met them. We're going on public hearings. Then after the public hearings, people would remain there, a group of 10, and ask me to go and sit there after the hearing. And I'll sit and listen about horrible, horrible things happening in rural areas. So rural tenure security is also an issue well stated by COSATU, well stated by Human Rights Commission. I'm not picking up everything, Charles, just picking the highlight. The Mineral Council, Chair, sometime we must just get a chairman of the Minerals Council, if a chairman or chairwoman, and just the key people, see them here, you know. Maybe not their management. Maybe get the mine bosses here so that they talk to us. Because the question to the mine bosses, I don't know if I should ask it to from their management and the parliamentary liaison people. Are you saying your mining rights are more important than the land rights of those people on whose land you are mining? Are you afraid that if the land claims are opened, the truth shall arise or prevail over some of the your mining and by this and land your test prospecting? Because part of the message that one gets off calf or by on the guts is that everything has got to be based on this. I would like to ask Ms. Summer to take it back, and we ask the bosses to really, even if they issue us a written response, we are considering law here, and I don't know, Chair, if it's still within the week, just a quick written response. Is this thing about prospecting and about the rights, there should be a correct term, English and legal, to say that it's more important, it's just escaped my mind, it's more important than the rights of the people who were forcefully removed there, who were killed there, who were, and all that. And another question again, for answering here or a written response can follow us. At Mining Council, does it occur to you that there's land strife and there's land crisis, land hunger? Don't you think that while you're busy with that, if you push it to the extreme, then the people in that strife needing land for this or that may actually, the situation may go out of hand for government, for everyone, like a country next door I may not mention on this platform like this. I might just be abusing a country, although I'm protected. But don't you think the situation might go out of hand? So everyone loses control because there's a crisis, we are bottling it, we are not seeing our way through restitution, reparation, and all that, and then it can then erupt social movement, the spontaneity, as Lenin would write, of the masses. So that's the question I wanted to refer to, and land on what Oral Mandela has already said, just to emphasize, restitution is a constitutional imperative. MPRDA, I do not know how MPRDA has been referred to so many times in the submission, but I'm saying I must be educated. How MPRDA is going to contest a constitutional right in a bill of rights of a person who wants to claim and is entitled? It's only us delaying, because that is right. It's us delaying, us being lobbied, us playing hide and seek with this, us taking 5 years, because I just spoke. And I think we were listening. So, Council, Minerals Council, are you saying this constitutional imperative to reparation can be subjected to MPRDA? Or MPRDA would have to say the constitutional imperative supersedes, and therefore as MPRDA, once there's this restitution thing amended, then as MPRDA we would have to accordingly adjust to keep up with the restitution. As a restitution person, because not only because of initiation chair of legislation, now I'm restitution in walking, in sleeping, in dreaming, I believe in it. As a restitution person, I don't think that mining, however important to the economy, I don't think that mining should seek to compete with the restitution. Again, Chair, I would say I'm opening it for persuasion. We're not giving people answers, but we are engaging so that we formulate law that is in line with the best scientific formulation socially and otherwise. So that juxtaposition of the Constitution to the MPRDA Act, and in part the 10-year security. Maybe, Chair, some of our support, committee support, something is clicking in my mind now. 10-year security can also mean 10-year security for the privileged. But if it was 10-year security for people not to be evicted, the landless, the poor, then clearly it goes alongside restitution. But if it's 10-year security for the landed to be secured, then clearly I see a struggle to be waged. I would end it there, Chair. Again, I would apologize if I'm scathing. I'm merely trying to debate, and no one should take offense. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Chabeleng.
The minerals were given their report, but I was looking at it as we're talking. You know, I'm from Skukuniland. That's where I come from, in Limpopo, where there's a struggle between communities and mines. And now, going forward, the mines actually want to dispossess people. Actually, this thing of mining is a second dispossession of land by our communities in Skukuniland. And these guys don't even care. After taking what they take from the land, they just pack their bags and leave. And we remain with we've got children in the area called Mafefe that are suffering from asbestosis long after the asbestos mines were closed. Long after asbestos mines were closed, you still have people who are inhaling asbestos from the mine dumps. So their land doesn't belong to them anymore. Their land is poisoned by the mines, and they don't even want to take responsibility for that. So I really think that we need to actually engage with mining and minerals at a portfolio level and have a re-look on some of the policies that we. I have problems with mining in Sukhand. We are victims of mines. Instead of mines create building the economy for us, they bring us diseases, poisoning our environment, poisoning our water, killing our people. You know? They bring death and disease. Actually, we get more than the paychecks when we work in the mine. You get even occupational diseases. So, but we cannot surrender the land to mines. Definitely not. This law was never about mines, it was about land. And the mines are on the land, so, you know, the land owners have to decide who should mine where and not mine where.
Thank you very much.
My apology. Just to very briefly to Babu Mguli, no Nchabeleng.
the Human Rights Commission has held a public hearing on mining. And then on the 16th, which is on Thursday, we are submitting a report to Parliament. And then that report is going to be released on the 22nd of August. Fasten your seatbelt. You will see what, we'll hear what is, what are people saying outside there. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the information. Honorable members who are listening to the presenters, as I've said that the presentations are an eye-opener. You know, sometimes when we go to people, people will say, we see you when we go for elections. Then you start to ask yourself, what is the parliament is in Tatagopi? Now I have been born in 2014. Lama challenges is Kuluma Aula, so Tatapi, so Funde Pepe. So, as in this is in Dama members Kuluma, I think we need to, we've got the right to invite the Department of Minerals. We can wait for the report so that when we engage them, at least we have got the content of the report. But I think the presenters have whipped us. They've whipped the department. The delay in the processing of the legislation. He has the department. I'm from Kolomagako. Because each time they present the programs to us, but they don't adhere to that program. They don't stick to the due date. And we've taken a resolution as this committee that there's not any legislation that we're going to fast track. If you have failed to submit in this term on time, just relax. You'll submit in the next term to the new committee. That's number one. Secondly, to the mines. Yo, naga presenter Mr. Amala. Ngabange Limpopo. We're cross-cutting Limpopo from left, right, and center. This committee with the department, portfolio committee and minerals. The first question about Basara is my issues. Ngazibuza ukuthi. The department, now again, mzini wabantu, unoka kuphi? Where do you knock? Uveluzi ngenele nje. Nangu mina sengifikile, I'm the official from the mineral, from the Department of Minerals, lana sizo mine la, noma ningathini siya mine la. Because some of the people were raising issues. That babona izinto sezenzeka ukuthi zenzeka njani, they don't know. Why they are beneficiary? They are beneficiaries of the land where the mining is taking place. When you ask the department will tell you, ay, umthetho uthi ama beneficiaries aona umhlaba phezulu ngaphansi wasa unga onindlu lokuphakathi endlini ungakuoni kwabani. Because the department, when asking the Department of Rural Development, what is happening? Why these people are raising those issues? But no, it's not our competency. China, we give people land, Department of Minerals, Yona, Yalande. I understanding yami by then, because ama RDCs, angazi bangakabawazi ama RDCs, ma Reconstruction and Development Program. Bonga ngeni in a village without knocking to the TLC or TRC councillor, umite ye RDC, uikazele, ikuthathe, ikuse emphakathini, then you took a community resolution. But the Department of Minerals, it seems as if imaphos ngokwayo ngoba bathi bangangena kula ma communities. I don't know whether the advantage with those, most of the rural people are illiterate. Those people are more clever than you.
any lapha ku department. They will tell you the date ukuthi nafika nini, nayo mitha nenkosi, na sign agreement, nasuka nahamba kwalandela mission. Bona ma owners of the land abazi lutho. What is it? What do you call that? I think really there's a need ukuthi sibe ne meeting ne Department of Minerals after the report ezotheblishwa advocate Sibanyoni. Ezotheblishwa a commission in parliament. Honorable Chabeleng has highlighted the issue of the health hazards. Baningi abantu abashiywe ezindaweni bagula, no one is taking care of. Ngena qhamuka neprogram ukuthi abantu abeze bazoregister balo. I don't know how many have you compensated, because labantu abanye bayaye ema-ofisini babuza ukuthi sagcwalisa, savizwa la sagcwalisa ama-application, kwathiwa siya kubodokotela, siye kuphi kuphi siyotestwa, kwasha kwacima kwavuta. But what is happening? Abanye babo baze bashonile. Those are our fathers, our brothers, our grandfathers. But the mining bosses are still getting profit. The other issue, the corporate social responsibility. Niyangena emphakathini, niyangena lapha ke abantu okuqala nizingenele. Vela ngeke nibenzele next, angithi anikaceli kubo. You didn't get any permission. Niyangena, hamba nenduneni, yansayinela induna, nisuka lapho nithenga i-messages, niyithengela induna. Abantu bamangala induna, ihamba nge-messages, ithathaphi ithengelwe i-department. Ngalana imayini yenza njani? Iyaqala. People are suffering. Lama protest endaweni eziningi where they are mining, where there's a mining process taking place. Kunama protest almost every month. Even umuntu oshanela ifunakala standard 10. Usebenza pho grade 12 umuntu oshanela, kushanela kubuthi paper lapha kufuna standard. Ngoba kuya ngokuthi kuleyo mine leyo kuphethe ubani. And that person angalanda abantu bakuleyo ndawo asuka kubo babe yi-100 benze itiye, bashanele, badobha amaphepha, benze lezi. Lo msebenzi okufanele ngabe ucreatelwa the local people uzotshintsha impilo zabo. It's unfortunate ngoba bathumele wena misizama la. Besifuna bona labanikazi bazophuma bangavalelisi, vela kuvaleliswa la. Awusho ukuthi sisale kahle. Then the last one, i-issue committee resolution ngibalile, izindlu zabantu ezikrekhayo. Mamayina ya blaster izindlu zabantu, abantu bayakhala, izindlu ziyakrekha. There's no one who's listening to them. Ngalana kwenzeka ini? Imali. The next thing is indlu ziyawa, zwela phezu kwabantu. The government must take ini? Irresponsibility. As if it's the government that is mining, it's the government that was responsible for the cracking of those houses. So there are many issues that we must raise with regards to the mining sector. But nevertheless, honorable members, I think we have listened to all our stakeholders. We have listened to the challenges. We have listened to their advice. Don't hesitate to talk to us. If you want to meet the committee, here is the committee secretary. If Scott's corner, the committee secretary will tell you when can you come and talk to the committee. Let me join honorable members by sending condolences to the Sibanyoni family on behalf of Parliament and also on behalf of the committee and the staff, as said by Honorable Mnguni. Our meeting will continue tomorrow at this venue at 10 o'clock. So, abafuna kuzolalela, we allow guests to come to this meeting. Bazobona ukuthi lana sibi la. Lana siyakhuluma nje, siyalungisa izinto, silungisela ini? Abantu. Akekho ke wakhuluma ngaye ukuthi mina ngifuna nongakhela indlu, mina ngifuna umhlaba. Sithi abantu bafuna ini? Umhlaba. izindlu zabantu zenza njani ziyakrekha abantu bafuna umsebenzi uma labantu bangakhona ukubenefitha kule mine eseduzane kwabo fanele babenefithe kuphi. So those are the challenges that we have to address ukuze abantu bakithi bakhone ukubenefitha abantu bakithi bakhone ukutshintsha izimpilo zabo siqede ipoverty and make sure ukuthi iSouth Africa belongs to all who lives in it. Honorable members, the officials, our stakeholders, we are happy. Let's appreciate that the department today, acting CLCC, should not school us sometimes in Yasifa, sometimes in Zangatan Safe. Finally, this is Fagu Petrol. See, Revele Monto, Nikonilo, which Ababembili, Babacona, Namos. Lo ukuthi nasibize imeeting enisithumelela bo secretary bazokwazi nababuyele emumva each and every chief director ola uyazi ukuthi namuhla bekhulunywa ngani ama stakeholders areze imaphi angeke azaxoxelwe ngumuntu ma stakeholders areze imaphi ma challenges ukuze kusasa nase sinibiza futhi ngoba sisazoyi discussa le report ye South African Human Rights Commission. Ngiyakhumbula beza boba besibanyoni bazoyithebulisha ku-committee, if I'm not mistaken. Some of the resolutions bengwathika ukuthi sawenzela ama-resolutions also as a committee. Sisazobuya sizodiscussa-ke i-implementation ukuthi how far. Because we can't keep on calling people, listening to people, writing reports, taking those reports, file them, and not taking the comments of the people serious. So our meeting will continue. Thank you very much for today. The meeting is adjourned. I hope honorable members are very tired, but we are used. It's still early. You can go and see 4 o'clock a.m. Thank you very much. Thanks, Jenny. Home, those are going home.